Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of September 25th, 2018, and this is episode number 369. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we got an interesting lineup of news this week, and I say interesting because there's a lot more of something and a lot less of something else for a change. A lot of people have been wondering, well, what has been happening in the world of UFOs? Well, I can explain that in one of the stories that we're going to talk about tonight. And there is no cryptid news tonight, which is weird. Weird, wild stuff to not have any cryptozoology news. Sometimes it's good. You know, the news kind of comes in cycles, whether it's politics, sports, anything else, news tends to roll in cycles. And right now, no cryptid news, but I'm telling you, pretty soon, it'll probably be the other way around. Probably be all cryptid again and no UFO news. But there's plenty of UFO news in tonight's, or I should say this week's news. And we're going to talk about never let the facts get in the way of a good UFO story. And are UFO reports in the decline? And if so, why? And what are the odds of seeing a UFO in your state? Well, I'll tell you later. And beware of psychic scammers. We got another one of those stories, sadly, in the news, and I got to talk about them. I always talk about these because you got to be aware. And we'll talk solar observatory facts, clear the air of conspiracy. Generally, I do the other news at the end, but I think I'm going to talk about that story first, since I'm pretty sure everybody's heard about this thing. Really kind of almost shocking to be sitting here one night saying, I wish I knew exactly what they were talking about. It's not over for me. And then the next night, boom, there it was. They cleared the air for all that. And speaking of clearing the air, my goodness, what's happened? I don't know about you guys, but I'm in Northeast Ohio. We've been going through this long stretch, pretty much since the last week of June. It's been 80 degrees or hotter. And then all of a sudden, we have the autumnal equinox just a few days ago. And ever since then, it's been chilly. Like 60s chilly. That's chilly to me, at least this time of the year. You know, you see everybody wearing coats when it's 60 degrees out in September. But in March, when it's 60 degrees out, everybody will be wearing shorts and T-shirts. Go figure. It's just how we get used to the weather. But it's just weird how somebody flipped the switch somewhere, and the weather is actually kind of normal for a change. It's not hot. I'm not complaining. I don't mind the heat, but it's a nice little switch. I'm not a huge fan of the fall, believe it or not, even though I'm big on Halloween. It just reminds me of death. Everything's dying and falling from the trees, and I don't know. Plus, it's snow, and then it's gross. Then it's all that stuff they spray on the freeways. Gets all over your car and all over your clothes. It's really just gross stuff. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of the winter time. But don't mind the fall too much. The cool air is nice. It's a nice change from the hot summertime. But I just wish it went right into spring right after fall. That would be fantastic. But maybe I'll have to move. It's probably the only way around that situation. So, as always, I want to talk about the events listing. I've updated that once again, and I try to do it once a week at least. I haven't added anything in a couple of weeks, but it's up to date at least with the events that are going on. And you can check that out at the website, the official website of the Paranormal News Insider, which is ParanewsInsider.com. Got to cut that down. ParanormalNewsInsider.com would be way too much. So ParanewsInsider.com, you can click on the events tab at the top, and you can check out these events. It's kind of winding down. It's kind of winding down here. Looking at the ghost events, I only have a small handful left versus the entire huge calendar full that I started out with earlier this year. The 2018 Illinois Paranormal Conference is coming up this weekend in Rockford, Illinois. The Granbury Paranormal Expo down there in Granbury, Texas. I've had the pleasure of being down there a couple of times. September 29th this weekend, September 29th and 30th. The Mid-Michigan Paracon. I know a few people that are going to be up there. I know it's not really up there, but it's on the map. It's up there. That's up in Flint, Michigan. And the East Coast Paracon. That's in October 6th in Scranton, Pennsylvania. October, it's knocking on the door. Do you hear it? It's knocking on the door. Monday. Next Monday is October already. And, yeah, it's here. UFO events, I don't have anything until the end of October. Mysteries of Space and Sky 2018 in Gambrills, Maryland. And cryptozoology events, well, I got one this weekend. The Virginia Paranormal Conference, September 28th and 29th, down in Bristol, Virginia. And then it's kind of vacant. Well, actually, no. I'm going to switch that one there. The Hanabia Bigfoot Festival, October 5th and 6th in Hanabia, Oklahoma. I got that switched with something else. I got to fix that. But yeah, definitely check out the list. And I do try to keep the events separated between cryptozoology, UFO, and ghost conferences conventions. Although a lot of these may have more than one type of speaker. But highly recommend if it's in your neck of the woods, somewhere within a few hours drive, I do recommend you check them out. Look at the listing to see who's speaking. Check these people out on Facebook. Look at to see what kind of work they've done, what kind of books they've written, and if they interest you, maybe people you've heard of before, maybe people you've never heard of before. A lot of these do a lot of local people, which is good. Instead of getting people that are going to charge, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars to speak at these events, because somebody's got to pay for it. It's usually the visitor, unless you're into the TV folks, which a lot of people are. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But me, I like to meet other researchers, other investigators out there in the field. That's what I like to mingle and mix with when I go to these conferences, conventions. But as big as my list is, as unique as it is, I know I'm missing some. And again, that's where you, the listener, come in. If you have any information about any paranormal conference or convention, feel free to let me know. You can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com or go to paranewsinsider.com. I have a little thing there at the top, a little events tab that you can check out the events. Or you go to the about/contact link and you can directly get a hold of me. That's actually the quickest way to get a hold of me. I get the email instantaneously. Get the email right away. Pops up on my phone and everything. All 21st century-like. I mean, this is 2018, so it got to be up there. Wow, and Dita has made it in the chat room. Big thanks to Dita. All right, so, yeah, getting sidetracked here. If you're not in the chat room, you're missing out. A lot of fun in the chat room, and it's nice and interactive. I do keep my eyes on what's going on in that chat room, so I know who's playing around, who's not playing around, who's paying attention, and who's not paying attention. And sometimes they ask some really interesting questions. So I try to keep an eye on that so I can give a little bit more of the dimensional feel to this newscast. It's not just me telling you the news. It's people asking me questions about what's going on. Sometimes it's nice to fill in some details about some stuff going on. Yeah, no new cougar attacks this week, but there was some cougar news. I should say mountain lion news. I don't want people thinking this is a different kind of show. But mountain lions, yeah, there's some scary, sad stuff going on about mountain lions dying and stuff. But they didn't kill anybody, which is good this week that none of that stuff happened. Always watching those types of news stuff. But yeah, no Bigfoot stuff this week, which is really weird. But speaking of cryptozoology, hopefully people have not lost interest because I'm about ready to spend four straight weeks going on the road talking about cryptozoology. My first stop is this weekend, the last day of September. Sunday, September 30th, I'll be at the Pickaway County Library, the branch, I should say, of the Pickaway County Library, the Floyd E. Youngkin branch in Asheville, Ohio. That's from 2 to 4 p.m. Nice Sunday afternoon. Take a drive. Come down and listen to me talk about cryptozoology. I'll be talking about cryptozoology in Ohio and beyond. It's a unique presentation I've designed just for this library. I love speaking in libraries, and I give it everything I have. That's why I like speaking at least 2 hours, at least an hour, maybe a little bit more of me yip-yapping, talking about stuff, and then maybe at least a half hour to an hour of questions, because a lot of people will come to these events with experiences or questions, especially with cryptozoology. We have a lot of stories with this, so I want to spend as much time as I can. And I think libraries are a very, very good source of information, not just because they have books, but because you can go to these events for free at libraries and go listen to speakers like me and a lot of other people. I've seen tons of people talking at libraries. This is the time of the year that we get asked to do this quite a bit. A lot. And we're everywhere. Not just Ohio, but every state is fully booked with people talking on cryptozoology. Ghosts is usually the big theme this time of the year. But it's interesting how, you know, I was asked to speak on cryptozoology. And I know a few other people here in Ohio have also been asked to speak on cryptozoology. But they're basically more inclined to the kind of scene anyway. But excited about that. And then October 5th and 6th, I'll be down in Piqua, Ohio, at the UnCon 12, the unconventional convention, if you will. Very unique event, really different. They have a theme, and their theme this year is Alien Freak Show. I guess I'll fit right in. So I'm going to be looking at cryptozoology from an alien point of view. What does cryptozoology have in common with aliens? So that'll be fun. It'll be different. Obviously, that's a very unique presentation as well. Then the following weekend, October 13th, I'll be at the Albatwitch Day, however you want to pronounce it, down in Columbia, Pennsylvania, along with fellow speakers Tim Renner and friend Rick Fisher. That's Columbia, Pennsylvania. That's all the way on the eastern edge of Pennsylvania. That's a long drive. Have you ever driven through Pennsylvania from west to east or east to west? You know what I'm talking about. It's like driving through Texas. It takes forever. Excited about all those. And I do have another one at the end of October at the Westerville Public Library. I don't know why it's not on my listing here. But the Westerville Public Library in Westerville, Ohio. I'll be there at the end of October. My goodness, it's not on my list either. What's going on here? It should be October 30th, I believe. Yep, Tuesday, October 30th. So, probably going to be off of my show that week, I would imagine. It's my holiday anyway. So, keep you posted on that situation. I just realized that's Tuesday. That's my show night. But we'll see what happens. But anyway, if you have any information about any paranormal conference, convention, anything that you're doing in the paranormal, I'm willing to put it on my listing here. I don't normally do classes, but sometimes I do put classes up there. But gosh, it's almost time for me to start researching for 2019, even though I already have a handful of events for next year. But I know I missed out on a few. It's just hard to keep this thing up to date. And I do appreciate all the people that have messaged me, emailed me, sent me hate mail, I don't know, just different things, correspondence for these conferences, conventions. As you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about this stuff. I spend a good 10, 15 minutes every week talking about this stuff because I think they are important and they do serve a function for our fields. But with that being said, we're going to jump into the news. And as promised, I'm going to catch you up to date on this, solar observatory. And, it's the Dia de los Muertos, I believe, on October 30th. So it is a holiday, I guess, in Mexico. Question in the chat room. Who has the most haunted library, Ohio or Pennsylvania? I don't know. That's a tough question. I'm going to have to do some research on that. I would probably guess Pennsylvania due to the age of the area and some of their, they have a lot of more historical buildings, it seems, at least with libraries. But I can tell you the Westerville Public Library, where I'm going to be speaking in the end of October, I know has a haunted history. It does have a haunted history to it. So that's interesting. And they're very big, very spacious. I love books. So I used to do a book of the week. I got to be too much because I was spending hundreds of dollars on books every month. And it got to be too much. And you should see, I have piles of books. I could probably open my own paranormal library if I was ever so tempted to. But anyway, back to the news. So on September 6th in Sunspot, New Mexico, the Sunspot Solar Observatory, also known as the National Solar Observatory, was swarmed by FBI agents with a Black Hawk helicopter flying overhead, purportedly swirling over this location. Now, local public officials were left out in what was going on at the time, and workers were told they were suspended from the facility until told they would be allowed back in the building. And, well, yes, that's when the story hit social media. And it also hit mainstream media. It began to twist into conspiracy theories, from alien ships sighted to a massive solar storm, or maybe even a link to Roswell, since the facility is located less than 90 miles away by Black Hawk helicopter. And rumor had it was also maybe potentially due to foreign spies. Yes. Otero County Sheriff Benny House told ABC7, quote, "The FBI is refusing to tell us what's going on. We've got people up there that requested us to stand by while they evacuate it. Nobody would really elaborate on any of the circumstances as to why the FBI were up there, what their purpose was. Nobody will say for the FBI to get involved that quick and be so secretive about it. There was a lot of stuff going on up there. There was a Black Hawk helicopter, a bunch of people around antennas, and work crews on towers. But nobody would tell us anything," unquote. So that happened right after all of this came down. And officials who contacted the FBI were only told there was a, quote, "credible threat," unquote. However, Sheriff Benny House and his deputies observed no threats to the facility. James McAteer, a professor at New Mexico State University and director of the Sunspot Solar Observatory Consortium, stated that the consortium ordered the facility to be vacated and only mentioned a security issue. Now, Kinsey Featherston, a spokeswoman for Congressman Stephen Pierce, contacted the FBI and was told there was a, quote, "ongoing investigation," unquote. The FBI told Featherston to contact the consortium about the issue. Sherry Lifson, a spokeswoman for the Aurora Consortium, it's the Aura Consortium, stated that the group was, quote, "addressing a security issue," unquote, and had, quote, "decided to temporarily vacate the facility as a precautionary measure," unquote. The facility went back into operation mode a week ago last Monday, when Aura sending out a press conference that everybody got, and it was all of the news, giving pretty much what I felt was a shell of an answer into what happened at the facility, because it was really avoiding a lot of details. There was really not a whole lot of information put into that. Last Thursday, however, again, after I did the show, I was left with a lot of questions. I just didn't feel that this was enough information. I get it. You know, maybe with the FBI involved. This could be a security thing. It could be national security or something. But then again, that's going to fire up all these conspiracy theories. So what was really going on at this place? Well, last Thursday, suddenly, out of nowhere, those details became a little clearer as the FBI released documents, including a search warrant, that paints a scarier picture, in my opinion, than an alien invasion. Apparently, a janitor at the facility was suspected of downloading and distributing child pornography using the Wi-Fi of the observatory. The laptop that contained the pornography was discovered by the chief observer at the observatory, while a little while later, the janitor was actually seen leaving the office where the laptop had been discovered. Now, the FBI was not behind the evacuation. As explained last week, the Aura Consortium opted to get the workers out of the building due to statements that were made by the janitor. So this wasn't just some guy that was doing some, you know, inappropriate things with images and whatnot. The statements released by the FBI state the janitor was, quote, feverishly, unquote, searching the facility for the laptop and made comments such as, quote, it was only a matter of time before the facility got hit, unquote, and that he, quote, believed there was a serial killer in the area and that he was fearful that the killer might enter the facility and execute someone, unquote. Well, that's not really the kind of stuff you want to talk about at work. And so it's kind of understandable why, you know, when these statements were heard by the consortium, that they opted to just get people out of there. You don't know what somebody is capable of in this day and age. And, you know, these are scientists. And, you know, once this kind of thing is known, obviously they have an obligation to protect the people of that facility. And I mean, it would be great if we could all call the FBI when there's issues like this happening and get evacuated from facilities. But we don't always have that kind of reach, I guess. But yeah, what a weird ending to the story. And it's as much as it sounds like it's over, it's not over. Because apparently this janitor has not been arrested, from what I've heard, which is creepy. It's creepy. I mean, let's get this guy out of general circulation here. So that's your update on the Solar Observatory. It's definitely going to go down as one of the biggest stories of the year, I would think. Now to UFO news. Man, is it weird to say that. I don't get to say that very often. UFO news. So UFO news, they're a pretty good business. Believe it or not, yeah, it's a pretty good business, especially on YouTube. Even after a crackdown on the site as well as through Facebook to educate viewers in understanding what's real and what is fake as far as the news being reported and images and videos and things. Now, sometimes a video can be easily discovered to be fake by matching up the original footage filmed at a prior date, which also excludes the UFO in the subsequent footage. It's easy to do with, especially with photographs. There's a lot of tools, a lot of Chrome extensions that you can put on your computer to look these images up. Video is a little bit harder, but it's not really even that hard. If you have time and patience and really the desire to find these things, especially in great numbers, a lot of people will assist in the search to find the truth behind these, unfortunately, mostly fake videos that are all over the place on social media, especially YouTube. Because, hey, people watch them. People want to believe. Yes, they want to believe in UFOs and extraterrestrials. So they'll watch these videos. And, of course, people get paid for watching. You know, people get paid for people watching their channels here. So unfortunately, we're kind of contributing to that a little bit. Sometimes a video can be really difficult to figure out or confusing, or we just don't know if it's real or not, but generally these come down to hoaxes, misinterpretations. That's pretty much it. And usually these are the kind of videos that I don't really talk about here on the Paranormal News Insider. It's kind of the ones that I just kind of sidestep and hope don't get too popular. Unless they do get really popular, then I will chime in about them, just like the one I'm about to talk about. And it seems that not everyone is handy at being able to spot a CGI UFO video or being able to put facts together to dismiss an obvious hoax. And you would think that the media of all people would be good at figuring these things out. But I've seen through the years, this isn't always the case. And sometimes the media kind of doesn't want you to figure it out because, again, they get paid too. When people click through stories and people surf their websites, and they've known through the years that paranormal stories equate to click-throughs. People are attracted to these stories, especially conspiracy theory stories and UFO stories. So sometimes, yeah, they kind of do this on purpose. Now, last week, the Tanznim News Agency, which is an Iranian website, published an article on how the United States was caught with a UFO-like craft on the deck of one of their aircraft carriers. And a lot of websites were poking fun at the Iranian news. I saw this everywhere on Facebook. Where else did I see it? Twitter. I saw it on a couple of other places. The people were really coming out and making fun of these. It was even on Reddit that people were making fun of Iran and the Iranian Tanznim News Agency for this. But if you do your research, the article actually cites the Daily Star. So the Daily Star wrote it a day before the Tanznim News Agency did. Yeah, but still, yeah, I get it. They should have both done the research. And sometimes, unfortunately, people will pick up a news blurb and copy and paste it and put it on their own stuff. As long as they attribute credit, it's all fair in news and war and journalism. I think it's all the same thing. But the Daily Star pretty much started this off, and they wrote it, and there was a lot of really weird things with that article if you read either article, because it's pretty much copied and pasted, like I said. It is a United Kingdom-based newspaper, Daily Star. You have, the Star. There's all sorts of news agencies that the Sun, which is weird to say, the Sun, the Star. There's quite a few of them that especially these stories seem to leak out a lot from. Because, again, they pay people for these stories. And they also know they're going to get a lot of hits. And that's unfortunate. That's how... It's what's keeping the paranormal alive right now. I dare hate to say that, but it's true. It's what's getting these stories out there a lot more than a lot of people. Yes, and it's definitely, I would equate that to the National Enquirer. The Daily Star, I mean, if you read this, I was just like kind of awestruck a little bit with this, how they get a few facts wrong and a few big facts wrong in their version of this article. First, they refer to the planes on the aircraft carrier as belonging to the USAF, which, if you don't know what that stands for, I'll spell it out for you. The United States Air Force, where aircraft on aircraft carriers actually belong to the U.S. Navy, for the most part. Sometimes there's Air Force aircraft on there, but generally it's U.S. Navy, especially the fighters. It also says the aircraft carrier was in the Mediterranean Sea. The carrier in the video is the USS Gerald R. Ford, which is the United States' newest supercarrier. And if you do even just basic research on this, it's not very hard to figure out. The carrier has actually never been to the Mediterranean Sea. And the imagery of the UFO, or described as the fabled TR-3B reverse engineering aircraft, seems to be a bit out of place. So if you watch the video, you see the aircraft come in, land on this aircraft carrier on the deck, and you see this mysterious triangular-shaped thing, which is, it's fabled. The TR-3B, reverse-engineered aircraft, purportedly of alien origin. Now, we've made these ourselves. It's a little out of place. It doesn't even look right. It looks fake. Probably because it is fake. And it doesn't take a genius, again, to figure this out. If you know the aircraft carrier, it's not that hard to look up the original footage. It's pretty simple. There's not a whole lot of footage out of this at this point. Really, this TR-3B does a disappearing act. It does. Because if you find the original video from July 28th, 2017, where the Navy aircraft take off and land from the surface of the carrier for the first time, in this original video, there is no UFO. And it didn't take too much of a journalist or a detective to figure it out. A lot of other people figured it out long before I did, but I knew it was fake as soon as I saw it. At least the websites generated some traffic to their sites, and I guess that's a lot more important than getting facts straight. Or I guess, as they say, never let the facts get in the way of a good story. These websites are free to see, but if you've noticed, if you go to this article, there's plenty of advertising, and the advertisers will pay based on the amount of traffic. So these kind of stories, when people talk about conspiracy theories and UFOs, the U.S. has UFOs on their carrier, a lot of people click on that, and thus money. It's easy money because they didn't do any work. All they did was get an email from somebody who probably posted the video themselves. They said, hey, I got video of a UFO on an aircraft carrier. Awesome. And they probably just took that person's facts and just posted it on their website. It probably took about 2 minutes to write that. Probably nobody got paid for it. But the website generates all that extra income through the advertisers and the click-throughs. It's a real simple formula that they've capitalized on and on and on. And if you read these stories and you scroll to the bottom, they always have a little thing where it says, if you have information on a story, we'll pay you. And to me, it's the worst thing in the world for journalism to advertise for more scam and hoax stories. If it were me, not that I want to control the press, but I think the press has an obligation. So if I ran a newspaper, I would blacklist these people. And if I did my research and I knew that this stuff was not legitimate, I would blacklist them. I would go after them. I would report them. Try to get their YouTube channel shut down because they're not providing any kind of service. They're not providing us any information. It's not even entertainment because the whole entire really focus for these people is, again, it comes down to money. These YouTube channels have advertising. They want you to rack up the hits. And then they're also getting paid by these other websites just for these stories that they just concocted. It's kind of a really weird thing, but it's become in vogue. It's become fashionable to create fictional hoaxed videos surrounding paranormal phenomena, specifically UFO sightings, sometimes cryptozoology and aliens, just different things that, especially ghosts, anybody with fishing line can create these weird ghostly things, and then people pick it up in the media and everybody wants to pay for it. And to me, it's ridiculous. I get it. Money makes the world go round. But I subscribe to the fanciful thought that maybe information should be the thing that makes the world go round. And people, understanding the reality behind these things. And granted, it's nice entertainment. But when people take it seriously, because people are clicking through these stories, not because they think it's funny, or because it's entertaining, but some of them really honestly think is real. So where's the obligation for the media for this and journalism as a whole? It just really irritates me. But it does, I guess, keeps me in business. Although I don't make any money from this show. I don't even have any advertisers. Well, I wish I had advertisers. If you want to advertise, let me know. Love to have advertisers, but it's not my goal to make money from this show. And I spend a lot of time putting this stuff together and fact-finding for you guys. But it's, to me, it's worth it to spread the truth. As much as it may hurt sometimes, as much as it's irritating, annoying, and it's not what we want to hear, those of us that are listening to the show, you know, it's not what I want to report. I don't want to tell you each and every week, hey, that UFO video that you saw that everyone was convinced was real, well, that was a fake. I don't get entertainment. I don't get enjoyment from that. It is quite frustrating at times, and sometimes I think, you know, why do I do this? If 99% of these news stories are fake, you know, why do I keep doing this? You know, and I do it for that 1%, that one chance, that one time to say, yes, we've proven that ghosts are real. And a UFO has definitely landed on the White House lawn and has abducted our leader. I mean, I hope to be able to talk about these stories and get a little in-depth news from it. And of course, the mainstream media will definitely take that away from us. And will become mainstream news instead of paranormal news. But, you know, hopefully that day will come. But in the meantime, yeah, I do get aggravated. I do get annoyed by these hoaxing stories. And I do try to sidestep them as much as I can. But unfortunately, yeah, you can't ignore it. And, you know, I wish there was some sort of penalty system. I mean, some of these have been blacklisted. We've seen certain YouTube channels and certain YouTube shows get blacklisted recently, not going to mention names. And that kind of actually took the wind out of some people's sails a little bit. But yeah, there's still guys out there that are doing that stuff. Anyway, I guess that's my rant for the week on that one. Let me get the I'll get that link in the chat room. I haven't done that. I forgot to do that last week, I think. So let me throw that in the chat room. And again, if you're not in the chat room, you're going to miss out on. I'm going to throw these links in here a little early. And if you're not in the chat room, hey, you know what? Like I always say, I get it. We all have stuff to do. And you'll definitely see these links later on. Because I do put them out through the socials, the social media, during the week after the show is over. So keeping with the UFO theme, yes, there's more than one story in UFOs this week. I'm going to fall over here. I've always felt that some stories about UFOs that are based on hoaxes, outright fabrication of video or photography, or even pareidolia from seeing things in photographs or video that really isn't there, has hurt the paranormal over time. You know, not just short-term, but long-term. And it greatly affects the beliefs of these topics by the general public. I really kind of feel that way. But the stuff has been going on for quite a long time. Hoaxes, misinterpretations for years on some subjects like the Loch Ness Monster. You're talking, you know, what, 80 years of hoaxes and people still believe in this stuff. So who's to say? UFOs are a subject that seems very entrenched in belief more than actual evidence. Although an argument could be made for the same with ghosts and cryptozoology. UFOs and aliens are a larger part of our culture as well, as there are way more movies and television shows portraying aliens than ghosts or cryptids, and that's by a wide margin. I mean, even looking on the new movie releases for this week, I mean, we have Solo, A Star Wars Story, and I can't remember. There was another UFO invasion movie that came out this week. Those are a dime a dozen. But, you know, two movies about aliens just this week. And you think about all the other movies that have come out, all the Avengers movies, you know, all these Marvel movies. A lot of these have, you know, aliens. I mean, we just saw the half of the entire galaxy wiped out by a purple alien. So, you know, aliens are a big topic in movies, television shows. I just finally watched the Lost in Space, the new one. Really, really good. I don't know why I waited so long to watch it. It was really, really good. Toby Stevens is in it, by the way. If you don't know who Toby Stevens is, well, he was in Black Sails, which is also another fantastic kind of streaming movie thing. Very good. I haven't seen Solo, so don't spoil it for me. I'm going to hopefully watch it this week. But what about UFO sightings in general? Yes, there's a lot of belief about, aliens. But what about UFO sightings in and of themselves? In a recent article by The Guardian, it suggested that the UFO reports have been in decline since 2014 through reports such as NUFORC, which is the National UFO Reporting Center, as well as MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, the two largest reporting centers located here in the United States. The modern age of UFO reports started in the 1940s and was carried into the 1990s through stories such as Roswell. Now, believe it or not, Roswell was a bigger deal in the 1990s than what it was back in 1947. Again, television shows such as The X-Files, and again, even now with comic book-based movies, continues to inundate us with imagery of potential life in outer space. But why are UFO reports seemingly drying up? If people are believing in this stuff, why are we not hearing more about sightings? The article bluntly states that perhaps people, well, perhaps they just don't care anymore. They also state that perhaps it's due to the fact that more people have access to cell phones, which have the technology to record these things, instead of just having to give a report. I never understood that. Cultural historian Stuart Walton states, quote, "Belief in UFOs is definitely in a state of decline, along with much else that could be classified as paranormal. Part of the reason is that the technology providing documentation, documentary evidence of such matters is now widely available to everybody with a smartphone, and such purported evidence as there is on YouTube looks extremely threadbare. It isn't so much that belief can exist without proof, it's that it must be emphatically avoid proof to remain belief. We are in the process, paradoxically, of course, of proving a negative hypothesis with UFOs. There was never any such thing," unquote. Okay, that point is taken. If we have such technology, why are we not getting the validation we need to prove these things exist? Why are we, what we're only seeing on YouTube are people misidentifying the Goodyear blimp, either because maybe they're unable to problem solve, or maybe they do it on purpose for attention or other motives. These continued false reports would have these experts think that the public and culture would no longer believe that any further reports could be believable. But I think that's really inaccurate. I think that's really opposite. And it's easy to sit behind a desk as a skeptic and make, you know, look at statistics and say, well, I can tell you why they're down because people are stupid. Well, that's a simple thing to say. But, you know, what facts do you have to back that up? As I've talked about before, I've had plenty of experiences over the years where I'm walking and hiking and I see something and I just take it in. I watch it and there it is. And I don't have time to, I don't even think about pulling out my cell phone. I've seen UFOs, strange things in the sky. Granted, my phone would not have recorded it due to how dark it was and how small these little lights are moving around. There's no way my phone would have ever been able to record that. And I would have wasted my time recording it instead of analyzing it and viewing it, trying to figure out what it was. And I think that's what a lot of people do with these things, and people are stunned when they see that. So to me, I'm so tired of that argument. It goes in the same thing with Bigfoot. Well, gosh, everyone has a cell phone. How come nobody's recording it? A lot of times you don't get a chance. You don't get a chance to pull out that cell phone and get it. You're in awe. You're captivated by what you see. And I've laughed at myself a few times. I've seen this a rat run out in front of me, a large mouse. I think it was a rat, and I had my cell phone like in my hand, but I didn't bother to film it because I was just in awe. I was watching. I was like, wow, this is weird. You know, I've also had rabbits come running out and stop and stare at me from 5 feet away, and I didn't have a chance to record those. I mean, luckily, sometimes I have, you know, I've had experiences where I was watching something and was able to film it, you know, having camera in hand, like a bald eagle flying over top of me when I was kayaking. That was a fun thing, but I was expecting it. You know, I saw it in the distance and I got ready to take a picture of it. So it's not as easy as you think. And for people to say that, I would love to meet these people in person and do something really crazy in front of them that lasts a good 5-6 seconds and say, how come you didn't film me? Because it's that simple, right? No, it's not. So hoaxes and misinterpretations, again, like I've mentioned, they've not slowed down an 80 years worth of belief behind the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, 70 years ago, there was a hoax where somebody put a hippopotamus foot on the shore. People didn't buy it. Some people thought that was real, but people didn't buy it. They figured it out. So hoaxes of the Loch Ness Monster 70 years ago. You have the surgeon's photo, which is nothing more than a little submarine with a little stick on top of it. It looks like a head poking out of the water. People still believe in it just this year alone. And maybe I shouldn't say this because they kind of go against what I just said, but a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old, both of these girls provided smartphone video of unexplainable shapes in the water. Granted, I think they were just, the one was definitely a wave. The other is really interesting. It's actually something really sticking up above the water. I don't know. But yeah, kids quick on the draw with their phones. Adults, I guess, not so much. I don't know. With UFOs, it's true that more of a percentage of these videos and photographs are easily explainable or are part of what I feel is a new part of our culture of desire of belief through fabrication. It's kind of a concept I'm kind of developing to talk about. In other words, these high number of fabricated, misleading, or otherwise hoaxed videos, these are basically put out there because people either believe or they want to believe in the existence of UFOs. And so they put these things out there to fool other people, not to intentionally fool them, but to get them to believe because the people behind them believe as well. So it's kind of what I think, but it's I need more research before I can really say that that's true. But does all this make people numb to the possibility of UFOs existing? The article in question here on the Guardian does make a strong point, however, when it talks about how government disclosure, which is something that all ufologists have cried for, still crying for, it's actually been happening more and more and has done nothing but provide proof that the governments around the world actually know very little about what's seen in the skies. That's quite embarrassing, actually. So governments all over the world, United States, Canada, Mexico, France, United Kingdom, everywhere, people are coming out and giving out their information and data, and all points to the fact that most of these places have no clue what's up there. And also at the same time, they don't feel that they're a threat. So this disclosure has kind of worked against the ufologists, wanting this stuff to come out. And yet when it does come out, it doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. And every time this kind of information comes out, it actually hurts the UFO field. UFO researchers have relied on conspiracy theories that governments have suppressed knowledge of these craft, and is now one by one, all these countries, like I said, are coming out saying they have very little information and are basically just as confused as the public. I don't think this has helped very much. I do agree with that. Government distrust climbed to a very high status during the Vietnam War and obviously with Watergate in the 1970s. But now this information has become public more and more all over the world. And again, it's not helped the UFO culture one bit. But my question about this article is how does it affect UFO researchers' feelings on this topic? you know, how does it affect those who witness these things? I get it, you know, researchers' feelings on this topic, but what about the people witnessing these things? Skeptical writer Sharon Hill added, quote, "The ideas about UFOs and aliens continue to evolve as we project our social and cultural ideas on them. Since we have no single easy explanation for all these claims regarding the decline in sightings, the future vision of ufology seems rather open-ended. I don't think it's dead, just changing," unquote. And despite, you know, her being a pretty hardcore skeptic for the most part, I actually happen to agree with her, and I've agreed with a lot of stuff she said over the years. I doubt it's because people are understanding what they're seeing in the sky, as reports still continue to surface of people misinterpreting skydivers' flares. And I don't think those are on purpose. I legitimately think people don't know what they are, so they're reporting them just as what they seem like, unidentified flying objects. Again, this doesn't mean that it's an alien-powered craft, just something in the sky that we don't understand. But granted, the kind of addition is there that it is of alien origin. But perhaps it's no longer a mystery or something we completely fear, since the topic of aliens, like I've mentioned, is part of our everyday culture. Granted, this also, the article also links to a 2012 article that talked about pretty much the same exact issues back then, 6 years ago. And one thing not mentioned in either one of these articles is the Condon Report. So the Condon Report was published in 1968, and this led to a very sharp decline in UFO group participation along with collected UFO reports. So if the UFO group participation dropped, so there's less people taking in these reports, is there a correlation between those two things? Does that mean that since groups, people lost interest in the UFO sightings, did maybe there was less reports collected, or maybe even people were just like, well, the government doesn't think they're real, so whatever I'm seeing, it's probably not real. So maybe they didn't report them as well. So I don't know. There could be a connection with that and all these other things that were mentioned. I would say that the culture of belief is tied very closely to reports gathered, but if there's no one around to collect these reports, who would be there to collect them, disseminate them, or report them to the general public? You know, I covered the topic of culture in UFO belief in my most recent book that was published last year titled Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator. And I did talk a lot about things like War of the Worlds, which was not done once, not done twice, but done multiple times. And it fooled the public every single time. So, yes, belief, cultural expectation. I've read a lot about this, and you know, you can look into it yourself. One interesting factoid, I believe it was Joe Nickel, who's also a skeptic, also talked once about how the shapes of UFO sightings have evolved with time, not because different shaped UFOs are visiting Earth, but pretty much because our cultural expectations of what UFOs are supposed to look like or be shaped like. And this is interesting because if you do go back to ancient times, you know, they described these UFOs as chariots in the sky. So I mentioned before, I think it was last week, I talked that I was going to do the MUFON sighting statistics for this week, but a weird kind of turn of events. Let me put the link here in the chat room, and I'll try to talk about this at the same time. So, a weird turn of events. I normally get an email about the UFO sighting statistics. Over the last few months, maybe the last year or so, gotten good inside information from former MUFON members. And sometimes I'm able to find the information also on websites. But generally, I'm pretty much given the information. I could say Audrey Hamilton has been a very, very good person to email me as much as possible with these. But both her and I both left MUFON not that long ago due to some of the internal conflicts that are going on within that organization. And I was still getting report information up to, last month. And this month I did get reports for the MUFON statistics for August. Got them almost more than midway through the month, but it wasn't the same information that I was used to getting. I was very, very limited information. I was very, very disappointed in it. And no one else that I've been able to contact has gotten any more in-depth information as to these statistics. So I wonder if these sighting reports are starting to dwindle like they said. And they've been dwindling in MUFON really steadily for quite a while. But the interesting thing, you can talk about cultural references because a couple of years ago, there was a TV show called Hangar One that really centralized all of its stories on MUFON and the Mutual UFO Network. And at the time this show came out, was on TV, their sighting reports spiked, went through the roof. Thousands of reports every month. And it slowly dwindled, even though the show was still on the air at the time. And when the show went off the air, you saw these reports really dwindle pretty much to nothing. And they were really not that much. So I don't have much. Actually, I don't have any sighting statistics. I got mad and deleted it for the month of August. Very disappointed. I did lose a lot of my information, although I can go back. I have all the reports archived, but I was keeping track on my show notes for the months. But when my computer crashed, I lost all that data because it was on all my reports that were saved on my hard drive. I know. I need to get up with the times. Don't worry. I have stuff in the cloud now, so that won't happen again. But all that information just kind of erased. Kind of took it for granted. Very disappointed, though, that they didn't release the full amount of information. They just gave a really brief overview of the stats. And to me, that wasn't really even worth talking about. But I do have some interesting stats, and I think they kind of fabricated. I need to go back through and count up these numbers. But according to MUFON, in 2016, their UFO stats were worldwide reports at 7,359. Granted, I have like 7,200 something. So I don't know where they got the 7,359. But they have case closed unknown and case closed information only. And case closed information only. And this is the kind of information I've been trying to get a hold of for a long time. Because they usually give out the stats and they give you world stats, the top few countries, and then the top states in pretty much every state that has a report. Now they're only giving a few states and they're only giving two or three countries. So I was very disappointed in that. But, you know, I've been trying to get this information as to these information only. And information only cases, basically, these are older reports. So these are reports that are either not in that month or they could be historic going way back years past. But they happen to be reported in that month or year. So looking at that, they disclosed that information. So these case-closed information only for 2016 was almost 1,100 cases. So that would be 14% of the worldwide cases were historical. So they didn't even happen in that year. That's a huge percentage. That's way more than what I thought. So that takes away from actual UFO reports that were going on during that time frame. And then they have case closed unknowns, which they don't really elaborate on. Probably ones that don't have enough information to be investigated, or maybe no investigators to investigate. I don't know. But even those were a very large percent. In 2016, of the 7,359, 1,934, or 26%, were closed or unknown. So that's 40%. 40% of these cases really had nothing to do with anything. And that's not even counting the cases that were left over that we don't even know. So it's weird. 2017, kind of the same deal. It shows an increase to 7,651. With let's see, about 33% of these unknown or old cases. So I don't know. You know, I've been talking about these UFO, these MUFON sighting reports and trying to make some sort of excitement about them, but they're really, I mean, even more statistically insignificant than I was aware of. Very, very, very low. And so far through 2018, through the end of June, they state that there is 3,627 reports total. And that's, it's about average for what they're shooting towards, about 7,300 right there, which is really not that much. But I think they're kind of inflating this a little bit. But that's just my feeling. And if you want to figure out the odds of a UFO sighting in your state, well, there's a website for that. Yes, there is. The website is casino.org. And they've released an interesting website that is basically a giant infographic. I love infographics. They're fun. And this is a giant infographic on UFO sightings that indicates your state and the chance that you can actually see a UFO in your state. It includes a drop-down menu, or basically you could just click on the state to find out what the odds would be of being able to see a UFO in your state. And apparently the numbers for this information came from the National UFO Reporting Center, again, or NUFORC, which has been around since 1974, kind of made famous a little bit by being on the X-Files. According to the website, you're most likely to see a UFO in Wyoming, where your odds are 1 in 20,500. I mean, are those good odds? I don't think so. I don't think I'd be putting money down on that. That's based on 2,854 reports. It's not very good. Florida is the state with the lowest odds of spotting a UFO, just 1 in 348,500. But that's based on 6,020 reports. So almost, it actually is double of the amount of reports in Wyoming. So I see what they're trying to do here. They're using the statistics based on per capita. But the amount of reports, I think it should be spread out by square footage, square miles or something. It should be noted that Wyoming ranks number 50 in state population with less than 600,000 residents. So this would represent less than 2 reports in the time period for the entire state. I don't think those are good odds. I don't think so. Yeah, especially in December. Meanwhile, Florida ranks 3rd in state population with nearly 21 million residents. So even though they had double the amount of reports, 21 million versus 600,000 people. So again, they're looking at per capita here. So California, meanwhile, ranks number 1 in state population with over 39 million residents. And it has a 168,700 odds based on 23,419 reports. It's a lot of reports, but again, I wouldn't take those odds. Would not take them at all. The website also has a nice section where it shows a history of UFO sightings with a menu that shows years that you can scroll through and see what happened in the world of UFOs that year, or sometimes there's more than one event happening within a year. See 1947. There's also a graph that shows when you are most likely to see a UFO by year, going back to 1940. I wasn't really around back then, but I'll take their word for it. Granted, the time scale is also affected by cultural expectations, as well as things like I previously mentioned, the Condon Report, which the graph shows a pretty heavy drop around that time frame, where especially a lot of UFO groups disbanded. It also has some brief facts, such as UFO reports are made more during the spring and summer with the assumption that more people are outside. And I think the weather would be nicer as well. a lot clearer, I should say. But what are the odds of seeing a UFO in your state? Find out by going to casino.org/UFO-odds. And I'll put that in the chat room. And you can play around with that website. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. I mean, it's, I guess, for entertainment use only, I would say. But it's nonetheless, it's pretty interesting information. And I guess with that, I'm going to wrap up the show this week. I do have one more thing to cover, but I can wait till next week. It's a ghost thing, but we'll talk about that next week. It's a scam. And I'll leave you to that. So just to pique your interest for next week. Yeah, it's a pretty sad story, but we'll talk about that next week. Make sure I cross this off my list here so I don't put it on my news feed, because I know I'll do it. And with that, wow, that's your show. Yeah, you don't want to miss that. It's a really interesting story. Definitely don't want to miss that. So tune in next week. I need more teasers like that. So again, you have any information about paranormal conferences, conventions, you don't see it on my list at paranewsinsider.com. You can get a hold of me by going to my website, paranewsinsider.com, going to the contact link up there, or old-fashioned email. People send email anymore. You can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com. And big thanks to everybody in the chat room for keeping it real interesting, and asking questions. That's great. I appreciate that. It keeps me on my toes and adds a different dynamic to the show, I believe. But with that, let me tip the hat right off in the sunset. And that's it. I'll see you next week. Well, I won't see you. I'll talk to you next week. Or not really talk to you. You'll hear me talk next week. Let's not get too specific here. But in the meanwhile, yes, make sure you keep your eyes in the skies to find some UFO reports. Your ears in the woods, because we need some more cryptid stories. And a hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.